printing out some sermon notes. There's usually a two-page copy of the notes. They're sitting in the end of the pew if you'd like to follow along. There's some. I just thought this would be a way if you wanted to share some of the things we talked about with friends, you'd be able to, you know, take this with you when you go. And so it's always fun also to doodle on something and fill in the blanks. So I thought I'd make that available to you. But we've been talking about the seasons of life. And we said just that as there are like four seasons of weather that define the year, there are also seasons in our lives that essentially define our lives. And we said that some of the seasons are good and some of the seasons are just flat out bad. Anybody ever have a really good season of life? Yeah, we all have. Has anybody ever had a rough season of life? All right. Anybody in a rough season of life right now? And have you ever, and so we said that there are seasons, they're both good and bad. We said that just as seasons help the plants to grow, we said that these seasons of life help us to grow and mature. And certain seasons, some of the roughest seasons in nature, sometimes strengthen plant life. And that's the same thing that's true here. And we said that seasons can be out of our control. And that's truth. You cannot control the seasons of your life. But we said that God does control the seasons. He determines when they arrive, how long they last, how intense they are. And so we've been talking about how we grow in these seasons of life. And this message today, this one, it's growing in seasons of waiting. I got to ask a question. Does anybody like to wait? All right, does anybody like to wait? Where's my granddaughter? My granddaughter, Madison's going to take some pictures. So just go around. She's going to take some pictures, and she's going to hand them to you. And you just hold on to that, and you can watch it develop in your hand. But I was thinking about seasons where we have to wait. Anybody ever pray for something for a really, really long time? And it seems like this. It seems like you get God's voicemail in heaven. You know, it's kind of like press one for healing, press two for a new job, press three for better kids, press four for anxiety about the future, press five for help with paying your bills, press six for finding a spouse, press seven for help with your existing spouse. For all other requests, press zero and leave a message in the general mailbox. Someone will get back to you. And of course, press 9 if you want to hear those options again. Anybody relate to that? You've prayed for something, and it seems like you've left your message up there. Anybody like me, you've left your message a couple times, and you're just waiting for heaven to get back to you. And the truth is, you can go to the next slide, that part of this spiritual walk that we have includes waiting. It includes waiting. There's seasons where we have to wait for something to happen. So one of the questions that I, and of course I had this, we started in Ecclesiastes a couple weeks ago, and I said, this is God. He does everything just right and on time, but people can never completely understand what he's doing. And I think that's an apt observation of things in life. God does things on time. It's just on his time. My wife is often said that she understands that God has timing. It's just not her timing. And she doesn't always like his timing. But the truth is, God controls the seasons of life, and one of those seasons is waiting. So I want to talk about two things this morning. Why does God make us wait? And how do we grow in seasons of waiting? I think asking the question, why does God make us wait? It's a really good question, because if you think about it, God created the world in 6 days, right? Why does it seem to take forever? You know, like it takes months and months and months to get a job, or it takes decades to get good kids. I'm really sorry if you have young ones, all right, but it takes decades to get. So why do we have to wait? And the truth is that there is a purpose in God making us wait. There are multiple purposes. In fact, waiting is a tool. Waiting is a tool that God uses to help us grow. And so whether you enjoy it or not, and most people don't, waiting is good for us. Waiting is good for us. And I want to talk about three reasons why it's good for us. And the first one is waiting renews our strength. This is from the book of Isaiah. And it talks about the fact that God has some strength for us, and it takes place only when we wait. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word wait here, I just want to stop for a second, and you have to understand that in the context of this entire sermon this morning, waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. In English, it does. It means you're doing nothing. At least you might feel like you're doing nothing. But the word wait in the text has to do with waiting for something to happen. It means to hope. It means to slow down. It means to look to God with confident expectancy while you're waiting for whatever it is that seems to be delayed. So there's this idea that that's what this waiting about. It is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. It's I'm trusting God while the answer isn't here yet. And I like this terminology here because I'm going to explain this idea of waiting. They renew their strength. And then it explains it. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I want to stop for a minute and explain that eagles are one of the few birds that they retain all of their strength right up until the end of their lives. And they regularly molt every year. They molt. They lose their old feathers and they mount up with a new set of feathers. And if you were to look at an eagle before and after, you'd say, whoa, that's a really old eagle. And then you'd see the new one. It looks like a young eagle. I like that idea. I'm getting to be that old eagle. I'd like to have some new feathers once in a while. But then it says they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. I like this idea. It's this idea of going through life. And we can keep moving forward. And we have this supernatural strength that comes from God, but it comes as a result of waiting. Waiting renews your strength. I found this, and I thought of somebody in the church. You're not the Energizer Bunny. You're not the Energizer wife. You're not the Energizer husband. You're not the Energizer Christian. You might think you are. We want to think that we can keep going and going and going. And we think that's what real faith is all about, and that's the real goal of life, and that's what makes us feel good. But it's not. There are times in our life where we have to slow down. We've got to recharge. We've got to let ourselves have a little bit of time so that we can ultimately keep going and going and going. And sometimes God makes us wait so that our battery can get recharged and that we can move in the right direction and keep on going. There was a missionary who was very successful, and I read this quote. He says, the genius of my life is plotting. He says he can plot and endure things forever and ever. He would never move forward quickly. He would just stay the course and go one day at a time, and that was how he achieved as much as he did in life. Let me give you the next one this morning. I hope you have the pictures that Madison held in your hand. You see, because I want to talk about this idea of process in our lives. How many of you remember film cameras? Okay, how many of you remember taking the film someplace, maybe a drugstore, maybe a kiosk, and you drop the film off, and then you would have to wait for it to develop because you took the picture, and then the film had to go through a process in order to develop. And that seemed to take forever, and then they came up with that one-hour photo, and that was like, this is amazing. I can drop off my film and get it back in an hour, and you probably found out it was more like 2 or 3 hours, but it still was like, I can get it back the same day. This is great. And then what happened was, And I remember this. I think it was in the 70s. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody else would remember. Remember Polaroid came out with that camera? And what did they call it? They called it an instant camera, all right? But I'll bet you, if you've got the picture in front of you, we're thinking, man, this is taking forever here. Because we live in this digital age where you snap a picture and you can see the thing right away. You see, there's this, but in the old days, there was always a process involved in waiting for the pictures to come out. And I was thinking, I thought that was a good illustration this morning, that there's a process involved, and it takes waiting. It takes some waiting. I was looking at this one. This is one of my life verses here, Romans 3 and 4. I took it from a different version of the scripture, so I'd have to actually read it. You ever notice that sometimes you memorize a scripture, and then when you take it for granted, and maybe overlook some of the parts? But this is found from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. It says, "We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn to be patient, and patient develops strength of character." I highlighted that. I'd suggest you underline it or circle it in the handout. But patient develops strength and character in us, and it helps us to trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and our faith are strong and steady. And I was thinking about this idea of developing. You know, we want to have things right away, don't we? We'd like to have this proven Christian character right away, right now. And God says, it doesn't work that way. You don't develop character over time, overnight. You develop character over time and waiting for long periods of time for things, whatever they might be. It develops a strength of character. I don't know if anyone's had a prolonged illness in your life. A prolonged illness, I don't know about you, that's probably when I'm most likely to call out to God and lean on God, because there's nothing I can do to make myself better, is there? But I actually have a choice. I can either turn to God or turn from God, because sometimes don't we get angry? Don't we get mad and we want to turn away from God and we resent God because I'm stuck with this illness? And we don't understand that there's a purpose in it. God is doing something in our lives. As we trust Him, as we hang on, what seems like maybe moment by moment, and then hopefully it diminishes and it's hour by hour and then week by week and month by month, and hopefully whatever the challenge in your life is, eventually it diminishes. And you've developed Christian character in that because you know that God can get you through. You know, that's something, if I don't know that if anybody ever talks to themselves, I talk to myself. And one of the thoughts I keep in my mind is, God can get me through this. We serve a God who gets us through, right? We serve a God who gets us through. Remember the three guys in the furnace? God got them through. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? God got them through. He didn't pull them out immediately. They spent time in their trial. So there's this idea that God gets us through, and we develop our strength and our confidence in Him when we've gotten through a trial and we look back and say, yeah, God took care of me there. You see, it refines our Christian character and it prepares us for just about anything. One of the things I like about hanging around with older Christians, and it just dawned on me this morning, I'm an older Christian now, but one of the things I like about hanging around with older Christians is there's a quiet confidence about people who have walked with the Lord for a long time, gone through stuff. You know, they just have gone through so much stuff, and they come out the other side stronger, so that no matter what they face later in life, it's kind of like, yeah, God's got this. It's annoying. I got to go through it. I'll trust Him. It's going to be okay. You understand? There's a strength of character that God's trying to build in us so that it refines our character. And let me give you one more. Waiting refocuses our purpose. Remember Job? He's like the poster child for waiting. Did you ever get this part of the story of Job? The first chapter sets up the whole story. And then there's 37 chapters of pain and suffering and bad advice from his friends. And it just keeps on going on and on. And you're thinking to yourself, when is the author of this story going to get to the point? Okay? And he finally gets to the point at the end of the story. And you see, the lesson for Job was not to trust in his things and his success, but to trust on the sovereignty of God. And you see, so but you had to wade through 37 chapters to get to that answer. I think the author was brilliant in the pain that he inflicted on my soul as I kept thinking, where is he going with this story? All right, and here we read from the book of James that the point of the book is that James' patience, all right, revealed God's purposes for him in the end. Now, here was a thought that I was thinking about. I was thinking about the fact that I might have talked about these three things here for you this morning, these three things, and you've said to yourself, well, that's all well and good, Pastor, but I don't remember this waiting renewing my strength. It felt like it sapped my strength. I don't remember it developing any character, and I don't know if it revealed any purpose. I just had to wait, and I didn't like it. You see, here's the truth is, we have to learn how to wait. Do you know what happens in life? This is true. A lot of people live their life waiting for something, either something bad to be over or something good to come. We spend our time waiting, right? And we say to ourselves, I'm going to be happy when, okay? Whenever this bad thing is gone or whenever this good thing comes, right? We say we're going to be happy when. And you know what the truth is? You're going to spend most of your time waiting. And so, if you're going to spend most of your life waiting, then you're not going to be very happy in your life if you're always waiting for whatever it is to come. So maybe the key here is to learn how to wait, all right? How to wait so these good things can come into our lives. And so I'm going to give you three things, three ways to wait. I've learned in my life there's always three of something. You know, there's always three of something in every sermon. I guess there's always three points. But I want to talk about how we can grow while we're waiting. So we're going to talk about some ways to wait. And the first one is we're going to wait for the Lord. I want to talk about the difference between God-oriented waiting and goal-oriented waiting. All right? You know what goal-oriented waiting is? I'm waiting for something. Or I'm waiting for an answer from God. Or I'm waiting for God to do something. This is goal-oriented waiting. So we pray and we leave that message on the answering machine, right, up in heaven. And then we wait for whatever that thing is. And I want to point out here from Isaiah chapter 64, and it's not telling us to wait for a thing. It says this, for since the world began, no one has seen or heard of such a God as ours who works for those who wait for things. Does it say wait for things, wait for answers, wait for action? It says no. It says who work for those who wait for him. You know, there's a difference between waiting for things or waiting for and waiting for God. And I'm going to tell you there's some problems associated with waiting for things and waiting for actions and waiting for answers. Is if the thing is my goal and I achieve my goal, whatever it is, I can't ever be sure if God gave it to me or it just happened. Do you know what I mean? Or I caused it to happen. Because my focus is on the thing and I get what I want. And I'll fill in the other part of the blank. Usually we want what we want when we want it. And whenever we get it, it's too late because we wanted it already. But the focus was on the thing. And you know what can be the problem? I mentioned before, press some number for a spouse or something like that. Sometimes we get impatient in our lives because we want a boyfriend or we want a girlfriend or we want a husband or we want a wife. And you see, you can probably get one of those if you want one. The problem is, when you get one, is it the one that God wants you to have? Because, you know, the Bible's pretty clear about what kind of relationships we should have when it comes to, you know, pursuing love in our lives. All right? And God's got some pretty good advice on how to do that. And sometimes we just want what we want. And so we get what we think we want, or we get what we want. It turns out that wasn't what God wanted. Anybody ever been there? All right, you got the thing, but you didn't get what God wanted for your life. You know, in business, this is one that I'm kind of familiar with, is the idea that there's always a business goal out in, ahead of you. And how many people know there are shortcuts to business goals that are not always legal or ethical or moral or anything else? But you know what? That's what I want, and so I'm going to get it. And I might even pray, God, give me success. And then a shortcut opens up, and you step through a door that you never should have stepped through. And you did something that you regret, perhaps for a moment, perhaps for a lifetime. You see, if your waiting is goal-oriented, then you could end up in a bad place, a place that you don't belong. But you see, if we wait for the Lord, and we notice down there that he works for those who wait for him, we're waiting for God. We're waiting for what God has for us, for his best in our lives. And so there's some benefits to this God-oriented waiting versus goal-oriented waiting. And one of them is that sometimes God may do something different than you want to do. You know, your God, plans and God's plans might be in conflict sometimes. You know what the Bible says? This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as your thoughts. And just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts higher than yours. You know what Jesus told us to pray? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, God may be doing something different. Your goal and his goal might not be the same. Let me give you another one, or another reason. God might have something better for you, all right? Your desires might be too weak. Your imagination might be too limited, and God might have something bigger in mind. You know what? This is one of, again, another one of my verses that I've committed to memory, and I'm just going to read it from a different translation, but it says, God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. His plans might be way bigger than your plans. You see, when you're goal-oriented, your field of vision focuses down on a thing. When you're God-oriented, it opens up to all that God might have for you. And then the third one is, you just might not be ready for what God has planned. Think about it. God created the world in 6 days, but we have to wait for things. Think about all the waiting that took place in the scriptures. You know, the Jews wandered in the desert for 40 years. It was like about a 2-week trip. You know, they could have marched into Canaan's land in about 2 weeks from Egypt, but it took them 40 years to get there. And then they were stuck there for 400 years. And then you remember the story of Jonah in the belly of the fish, 3 days and three nights in the belly of fish. God could have taken them out of there anytime he wanted. But you know what was wrong? They weren't ready for what God wanted to do. And so the 40 years purified that nation. The 400 years purified that nation. The 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish brought Jonah to the place where he's on his knees confessing and repenting before God. You see, sometimes we're not ready for what God has for us. There's this great story in the book of Genesis. It's about Abraham and Sarah. And remember, Abraham's 75 years old. And God tells him, you're going to be the father of a mighty nation. He doesn't have any kids, but he's going to be the father of a mighty nation. Of course, Sarah's involved in this whole discussion here. So they're going to be the father of the mighty nation. And then we find out that for like 24 years, nothing happens. Now, he was 75, she was 65 when God told them they're going to be father of a mighty nation. And they were 99, and they still didn't have a kid. And if you think about it, they thought of other alternative ways. Remember the whole deal with Ishmael. Here's my servant girl. Have a baby with her. That's going to be great. Didn't work out so great. Ishmael and his Abraham's son Isaac's families didn't get along too well. And so there's this idea that they didn't want to wait. And you wonder, why did they have to wait? Why did Abraham have to be 90, 100 years old when Sarah finally had the kid and she was 90 years old. Do you know why? Because they were waiting for the baby. And God wanted to give something better than a baby. He wanted to give them a miracle. He wanted to give them a miracle. We talk about Abraham as the father of our faith. We talk about the father of mighty nations. We talk about that. And if they just had a kid just like anybody else has a kid, how do you know for sure? But you see, what they got was a miracle instead, because nobody fathers a child when they're 100 or has a baby when they're 90. And that became, I'm looking for the word that means irrefutable. That's it. Irrefutable proof that God did this thing. God did this thing. And you know, that's important. That's important in our lives to know that God did something. He's the author of something, because it gives you faith going forward to say, you know what? This child, Isaac, that you gave me, and the child he had, Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 kids, they all come from this line that goes back to Abram, the father of a mighty nation. It gives us confidence that we know God's involved in us. And then through Christ, because we are all descendants of Abraham through our faith in Christ, we look back and say, yeah, the God of the universe is the one that caused all of this to happen over the millennia, but also brings us to this place in our life. You see, there's a benefit to waiting on the Lord, because when the Lord responds, it's a powerful thing for your life. You know what I was going to suggest to you? I don't know if you have a Bible app or just a notes app on your phone. Does everybody have one? I'm an iOS guy. I don't know what they do in the Android world. But you know what I do? I would stick this in your notes. Stick this verse of scripture, either cut and paste it or write it down, or stick it in your notes. And whenever you ask for something from God, whether it's an answer or a thing or an action for him, make a list underneath it, underneath this verse of scripture, and then go back every once in a while you're waiting, and tell yourself the truth that God works for those who wait. You might even make that the title of the note so you can find it in your notes app. But I love this idea that God works for those who wait. Let me give you another thing or another way that you can wait. Number two, it would be wait in a crowd. Have anybody ever traveled across country and you get stuck in an airport overnight? I used to have to fly out west, and I always got stuck at Stapleton Airport in Denver. And there was a guy, I can't tell this story, I'm in church, but there was this guy that I ran into all the time in Stapleton. He was in the bar down there, and I shouldn't have told that story, and I'm sorry. But his name was Dave, and I struck up kind of a relationship with this guy named Dave. Anyway, but we were always waiting, but the thing was, I was always waiting by myself. You know what I mean? Doesn't it stink when you're waiting by yourself? All right? Have you ever traveled with your family and you have to wait? It's not so bad. You ever travel with coworkers or friends and you have to wait in an airport? It's not so bad. It's kind of like a party. You know, you're waiting, but you're all waiting together. You see, waiting is always better when you do it in a crowd. And the texts I picked this morning, Hebrews 12:1 and 1 Thessalonians, they talk about waiting in a crowd. They talk about waiting in a crowd. It says here in Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know what this whole verse, this whole passage of scripture is about? It's all the heroes of our faith. You know what they all did? They all waited. They all waited. All right, so we read their stories, and you know what they're saying to us? I waited. I waited. We got what we wanted. You can wait, too. That is the value of reading the Bible, the stories that are scattered throughout the Bible, is when you learn their stories. Chase, when you learn their stories, they can become your stories. One of the most fun I can remember was, I think it was Jesse, was teaching a Bible story in the front of my house, and there's a big old pine tree. And he told the little boys in the group, the pine tree's like Goliath, and you're all like David. And so all the kids were attacking the pine tree, you know, and they were defeated, and they didn't cut it down. And that was a good, well, maybe it would have been a good thing if they had cut it down. But you know, we stick our stuff in the story. And you know what? We become part of their story. And you know what? It becomes part of our story. You understand? And we wait in a crowd. They all waited. I'm waiting. And you know what happens when we wait? Sometimes we think there's something wrong with us because I don't have the answer yet. Or if you're waiting for somebody else in your family or a friend, like something for them, you know, like when are they ever going to change? I didn't want to say spouse there because then my wife would look at me. But when you're waiting for somebody else, you say, what's wrong with them? And so you have these two things. It's either what's wrong with me or what's wrong with them. And, of course, what's wrong with them can easily get to what's wrong with God. All right? But the truth is there's nothing wrong. Waiting is a part of this life we have. If you get frustrated with waiting for yourself, you're going to feel guilty. And when you get frustrated with waiting for somebody else, you get angry. But there's nothing wrong with waiting. So we wait in a crowd. And then this second verse here from 1 Thessalonians. So encourage each other and give each other strength, just as you are doing. You know, there's another crowd that we can wait in, and it's right here. You see, because when you're waiting for things, you want to wait in the right kind of crowd, don't you? You want to wait in the crowd of other people who understand a God who loves them and who cares for them and is planning things for their life. And you see, when you wait in a crowd like this, you can go to somebody else and say, this is what's going on in my life. And that person is likely to say, you know what? That happened to me too. And this is how it turned out for me. You see, it builds up a little courage. You see, when you wait by yourself, you're left to your own devices, aren't you? You make up your own story and your own ending of the story. But when you wait in a crowd, like a biblical crowd, you can say, hey, in the end, it all worked out. Or if you hang around with other Christians who share your faith, they can build it up as well and say, yeah, I got your back. I'm going to pray for you. You know what happened to me? This is what happened to me. It turned out okay. I'm still here. I'm still moving forward. You know what? Let me pray for you. Let's pray together about this. And we come together and we strengthen each other. So we wait on the Lord. We wait in a crowd. And the last one here this morning, and I will land the plane, I promise, is to remember that God waits for you. You know, sometimes we're waiting and we think we're waiting for something else. And what's really happening is God's waiting for us. He's trying to do something in your life that requires you to wait, that takes time, maybe a decision he's asking you to make, maybe some repentance that he wants you to take or something like that. And so sometimes God's waiting for you, and I pulled these two verses. It says, the Lord's not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness, but God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. This idea that there's a purpose in it, but there's times where God's waiting for us. And you know, and there's this other one here. It says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you won't give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. Not only is God waiting for you, but he also gives you the strength to wait, patiently, and when I was thinking along these lines in my mind, when I remember that he's patient with me, then I can be patient with others and patient with my circumstances. Can I get the praise team to come up this morning? God waits for us. He waits for us. The Bible says the Lord waits for you to come to him so that he can show you his love. If you guys could start just playing there this morning, I'm going to close with this thought this morning. The word faith and the word fail begin with the same three letters. The word faith and the word fail start with the same three letters. They just end differently, don't they? They just end differently. And when it comes to faith and waiting, it's the end of the story that really counts. It's the end of the story that really counts. Could you go to the last slide there? There's more to your life. There's more to your life than right now. And so I ask you, maybe you bow your heads and just listen to this closing here. We're told to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Whatever it is that you're waiting for, God has a plan, and it's bigger and it's better than you can imagine. So don't get distracted by the things or the goal. Wait for God. Wait for the goal. God. Don't be goal-oriented. Be God-oriented. And maybe here's a little prayer that you'd offer up even right now. Just say, God, I'm waiting for you. I trust you. Thy will be done on earth and in my life as it is in heaven. And help me. Help me to wait. Maybe you're here today and you've been waiting alone for something because you think there's something wrong with you or there's something wrong with God or somebody else. And you just didn't realize that God doesn't want you to live that way anymore. He offers you a church family. He's got a waiting room for you with other waiters, like-minded waiters here. And also, he's given us Bible stories to tell us about those who have waited before us. So here's a prayer you can pray in closing. God, help me to find a good crowd to wait with. Open my eyes and soften my heart as I read the stories in your Bible and of others who have waited. Help me to connect with people that can give me courage and strength so that I can move on. And then someone might want to pray this. I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk. You know, you come into a church, some of you I know, some of you I don't know. But I do know this, that there are moments in time that we seize because God's speaking into our hearts and he's calling us to himself. And maybe your prayer needs to go this way. God, I know you've been waiting for me. You don't have to wait any longer. I want to put my trust in you. I want to trust you because I know that you have the best for me and you know the best way to run my life. Thank you for sending Jesus in this world to show me how to trust you. And so I trust you to forgive me for the wrong things I've done. I trust you to lead me. I don't want you to have to wait, and I don't want to wait for that anymore. Jesus, would you come in to my life? You could stand. We're going to sing a closing song, but if you prayed that last prayer this morning, would you come and see me at the end? You've made a fundamental change in your life to going from not waiting from God to waiting for God to come into your life, to him coming in. And I just wanted to talk to you about that. We'll sing this as a closing song.